2005. A couple of things on the agenda. Let's get a little business out of the way first. Representative Cannon, will you make a motion, please? We'll open a work session on the possible approval of drafting request of legislative council. Representative Cannon?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I asked to make a motion to draft 45 drafts relating to state financial administration.
Representative Cameron moves that this committee request 45 legislative drafts from legislative council on the issue of state financial administration.
Gee, if there's that many, can we add a few to it on our own? I'd like two or three on that same topic.
Yeah, I bet you would.
We make it 48.
I will not be accepting your friendly amendment at this time, but is there any objection? Seeing no objection, so ordered. Close the work session on requesting drafts. We will open a work session on Senate Bill 225. Sandy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, you may recall on Wednesday we were reviewing the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 225. This was the bill relates to the immunizations and the immunization program regulated by the Department of Human Services. There were a couple of requests, tweaking as it may, of the Dash 3s. The Dash 4s do incorporate those changes, the changes being where we removed the specified birth date of a full-time student, and we replaced on, well, it's page 6A, what was a student visa to a non-immigrant visa. Otherwise, the amendment is identical to the Dash 3s that we had discussion about on Wednesday.
All right. So, sounds like we solved the problem. We got our amendment back.
Yes, and I'm wide awake now, and I think we've done what we were supposed to do.
Okay, excellent. So is that a motion, Representative Green?
Yes, I move Senate Bill 225 to the floor with as amended.
Right.
Oh, no, well, no, excuse me. Yeah, I move the Dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 225.
Oh, I'm going to interrupt you. Representative Greenlee moves the Dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 225. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? The amendments are ordered adopted. Representative Greenlee.
I move the that Senate Bill 225, as amended with the Dash 4s, be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Greenlee moves Senate Bill 225 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Anderson, this is that immunization bill we faced. Any objection? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Votes aye.
Representative
Greenlee. Aye.
Vice Chair Kilmer. Aye.
Vice Chair Butler.
Excused.
Chair Dalton.
Chair votes aye. Senate Bill 225, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Boone, you want to carry this?
Sure. I will do that.
All right. With that, we will close the work session on Senate Bill 225. Open a work session on. We'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 58. Sandy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 58 is allowing the Board of Naturopathic Examiners to maintain an injunction against any person who violates the licensing requirements to practice naturopathic medicine in Oregon. It allows the board to impose a civil penalty up to $5,000 for each violation. As you recall, we had a public hearing on this bill earlier in February. At that time, the board came before us, explained the purpose of the bill. At that time, they also had a Dash 1 amendment. You have that amendment in your packet of materials. And the amendment clearly just changes the word violation to a misdemeanor. There really is no such thing as a Class A violation, so this is clearly just a housekeeping terminology amendment. Also at that time, Representative Butler had asked for some follow-up material. I believe I provided that to you, where Representative Butler had asked for information on other boards and their civil penalty authorization. That graph or chart is in a follow-up document for the members' information.
All right. Mike Reed. Is Mike Reed here? Good morning, welcome.
Good morning, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm a public member of the Board of Natural Gas and Standards, and I'm simply here to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, just state your name for the record, if you didn't.
My name is Mike Reed.
Great. So you've seen the dash ones. This is the board bill. The board has requested this bill, and the board is, the bill's ready to go with the dash one amendments. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All righty.
Sure.
Well, I think we're all set. So we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 58. Open work session on Senate Bill 58. Make a motion on dash ones, please.
Mr. Chair, I move dash one amendments to Senate Bill 58.
Thank you, Representative Tomei. Representative Tomei moves dash one amendments to Senate Bill 58. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Without objection, amendments are adopted. Representative Tomei.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 58 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Tomei moves Senate Bill 58 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Brandon.
Aye.
Vice Chair Clement.
Aye.
Vice Chair Butler.
Excused.
Chair Delta.
Chair votes aye. Senate Bill 58, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Chair will entertain a motion for the consent calendar. Can we do that with one member short?
Sure.
Okay.
So moved.
Representative Tomei moves it. Senate Bill 58 be placed on a consent calendar. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing no objection, Senate Bill 58 is ordered placed on a consent calendar. With that, we will close the work session on Senate Bill 58. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 98. Sandy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 98 comes to us from the Senate Health Policy Committee. Comes to us with a Senate vote of 24 ayes, 1 no, 1 absent, and 4 excused. This bill is allowing the Department of Human Services to delegate licensing functions of adult foster homes for elderly and disabled persons to Type B area agencies. It exempts adult foster homes in counties that have been already granted an exception. It defines an adult foster care home, declares an emergency effective upon passage. Members, I would like to highlight for you, this bill does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, and you do have attached to your material a fiscal impact statement issued from the Senate side. However, please note the two paragraphs at the bottom of page one of that fiscal impact. It clearly says, if the bill were to become law, there will be no fiscal impact to the state. The second paragraph does further explain that if this bill does not become law, then DHS would reassume the previous delegated responsibilities, thus it would have an impact on the state. So
why do we have a fiscal impact statement then?
Because there is an either-or situation, and I know the agency is here to speak to that in more detail for explanation for the committee's benefit.
All righty, Mickey Tate. Good morning, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman Dalto and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mickey Tate. I'm the Adult Foster Home Program Coordinator for Seniors and People with Disabilities, Department of Human Services. I'm here this morning to speak to you in support of Senate Bill 98 and its amendment. In 1986, the department first promulgated rules and regulations for adult foster homes. Adult foster homes under senior and people with disabilities provides care and services to five or fewer individuals who are adults who are either elderly or physically disabled. At this particular time, we have approximately 1,800 commercial adult foster homes in the state with a capacity of about 8,000 beds. We also license 1,900 relative adult foster homes. Historically, the licensing function has been conducted by our local offices and the Area Agency on Aging in the state. Local licensing staff accept and renew applications and review applications, conduct program orientation, initial inspections, provide technical assistance and training to providers, conduct relicensing inspections, respond to complaints of rule violation and concerns from residents, families, and case managers. purpose of this regulatory activity is to provide assurance that the department is fulfilling the obligation under the federal waiver to provide a community-based system of care that provides appropriate care and services to adults who are elderly, physically disabled, in a home environment that is safe and secure. It's the responsibility of the staff and seniors and people with disabilities to develop policy, promulgate rules, and provide technical assistance and training to field staff. The Department of Justice recently recommended that the department clarify our statutory authority to delegate licensing functions to the AAA. Passage of this bill will make that clarification clear and allow the adult foster home program to continue to operate effectively and efficiently. There is no fiscal attached to this bill. I respectfully request that you support the department's bill, and I will be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mickey, if I'm understanding this correctly, if this bill passes, there will be no expense to the state. But if it does not pass, then the state will have to take on this responsibility that now the area on aging takes on. Is that correct?
Representative Dalto, Representative Tomei, yes, that is correct.
So how are these area agencies on aging, how are they funded?
Well, they contract with us to provide the services under Medicaid, federal Medicaid program. In other words, the funding is passed on to the AAAs.
So the state gets the money,
right,
and then passes it on
to the AAAs for them to conduct the Medicaid program.
So I'm confused. So if the AAAs were out of the loop, why wouldn't the state just use the money that they would be passing on to AAAs? Why wouldn't they just use that to do what the AAAs do?
Senator Tomei, are you asking me why the state doesn't perform this function?
No.
Rather than
I'm saying if this bill doesn't pass, I don't understand. The state already gets federal and state money that it funnels to the AAAs to do these functions. Now, if the bill doesn't pass, then the state would have to take on those functions, and I'm unclear about why that would be have more of a fiscal impact.
All right. I think this needs a little further explanation as to what happened here statutorily. The department has the authority to delegate administrative tasks to Area Agency on Aging. The ability to delegate a discretionary task is not clear in statute. So an administrative task is where we originally started out with the adult foster home program. Because we started with a program where five elderly or physically disabled people were provided care and service in a home-like environment, generally they had few care needs. The purpose of their being there was for supervision, meal preparation, and medication management. As the program became more sophisticated and people were able to remain in their homes longer, it required that the licensing function become more than just going into a home with a checkoff list and saying, you know, yes, there are fire detectors. Excuse me. The home, it meets physical standard. There was a clear checkoff list with no discretionary problem.
I think, you have a gavel?
Yes.
Might I take just a minute to see if I can help clarify what you just asked?
Well, sure.
I don't mean what you asked. I mean the answer. I think we're going down a path that's...
Okay.
I mean, it seems to me what she's saying is there is money given to AAA now. They can't reduce that money, even though the task would be reduced. So they'd have to continue to give the AAAs the same money under the formula. But now, in addition, they'd have to pick up a task that now the AAA can't. And it seems to me...
So what you're saying is the money will continue going to AAA,
yes.
And if we don't give them this responsibility, if the state takes it on, the money will still go to the AAA,
and the state has to
still take on that responsibility.
Exactly.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Representative Greenland.
All right. We're all set. Thank you very much. We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 98. Open work session on Senate Bill 98. I'd like a motion, please, to to move the bill to the floor and rescind the subsequent referral to Committee on Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 98A be referred to the floor and the subsequent referral to Ways and Means be rescinded.
Thank you, Representative Tomei. Representative Tomei moves Senate Bill 98 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Without objection, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Representative Anderson. Aye. Representative Boone. Aye. Representative Cameron. Aye. Vice Chair Clement. Aye. Vice Chair Butler. Excuse me. Chair votes aye. Senate Bill 98 having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. You should put this on the consent calendar.
Representative Tomei moves that Senate Bill 98 be placed on the consent calendar. Is there any objection? Without objection, Senate Bill 98 is ordered placed on the consent calendar. We will close the work session on Senate Bill 98. Colleagues, we need 25 more bills drafted by legislative council relating to state financial administration.
So we will. Who gets 28? Can I try again?
We will open a work session on draft requests. I hear Representative Cameron made a motion to request that legislative council be asked to draft 25 additional committee bills, draft requests relating to state financial administration.
How about just one more for me?
So we'll let Representative Greenlee go and talk to LC, but that's about as close as you're going to come, as long as he has two priority bills left. Is there any objection to the additional drafting requests? Seeing
any clues?
Objection. Well, no, they're all state financial administration. They're all budget bills. So seeing no objection, the drafts are ordered requested by the Legislative Council Committee. With that, we will close the work session on drafting requests. Thank you, colleagues.
75 bills. Oh,
70 altogether. 70. And we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 458. Sandy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 458 comes over to us from the Senate with 25 ayes, 3 noes, and 2 excused. The bill is requiring the Oregon Board of Dentistry to accept the results of regional testing agencies or other state clinical board examinations for the requirements of licensure to practice dentistry or dental hygiene in Oregon. It's removing the requirement that the board accept the regional testing from those qualified boards or agencies of applicants who have practiced in other states and the military. We have a dash one amendment that has since been agreed upon since the bill has left the Senate, and we have some folks here to speak to that. You also have a fiscal impact statement attached to your package. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, so does that mean that there's a fiscal on us?
Confusing when you look at it.
It's a savings.
It's a savings.
It's a savings.
Right. It's a negative. It's a savings.
How about that?
All right. So
all right.
Definitely. Doug, and this does not have a subsequent referral.
Doug Barber, Dr. Gary Allen, Deborah Loy.
We put that saving into
Florida. Not in my city.
Is it related to? What's the relating to, bro? Relating to satisfaction of examination. Well, that doesn't help much. Examination requirements.
I know, but I'm just saying a dental exam, you can kind of tweak
a
it.
A satisfactory fluoridation examination.
Yeah, yeah, you can, yeah.
And can I just tell you, colleagues, that Dr. Gary Allen is a good American.
unlike the rest of us.
I just am very grateful for some dental products that we were able to provide at no cost to one of my Title I bilingual schools in our district. Had a little gift pack one night with toothbrushes and floss, and what everybody liked were these little primers.
that we were able to get. And it's a timer to, like, make sure you're brushing your teeth long enough. All the kids were walking around this school at this family night with these timers. They just loved it.
That's great.
Thank you, Dr.
I think that was in the restaurant business for hand washing.
That's right. That's a good idea. Welcome. Good morning.
Thank you, Chair Dalto, members of the committee.
You're all good Americans.
Doug Barber here today on behalf of Willamette Dental Group. Senate Bill 458 deals with licensing of dentists. Historically, Oregon has had pretty restrictive licensing laws for dentists. It made it difficult for out-of-state dentists to come to Oregon. Gradually, over the last four sessions, we've worked to remove some of those barriers. Some of you who have been on this committee and around for a while will remember these issues. In 1999, we gave the Board of Dentistry explicit authority to recognize clinical dental exams from other states and regions. In 2001, we passed a bill that says that Oregon would recognize the license of experienced dentists from elsewhere in the country if they had a clean practice history and met other qualifications. That leaves a hole, and that is for more recent dental graduates. And that is what Senate Bill 458 is designed to address. Here with me today is Dr. Gary Allen to talk more specifically about the need for this bill, and then Deborah Loy.
Good morning, Chair Dalto and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Gary Allen, and with your permission, I'll read my testimony so I can not wander and be concise. I'm a dentist licensed to practice in Oregon, Washington, and Virginia, and I'm retired from the military after a 26-year career as an Army dentist. I am currently employed by Willamette Dental as Director of Clinical Support for Quality Improvement and Training. And Willamette Dental is a group practice with over 50 offices in three states, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho, and we employ nearly 200 dentists. And I'm testifying here today on behalf of Willamette Dental and myself in support of Senate Bill 458. Senate Bill 458 is important and necessary legislation because there is a problem with access to dental care in Oregon and the nation that is due in large part to the growing shortage of dentists. Some may argue that, that the shortage is overstated. And perhaps that's true in selected urban areas and for people who enjoy adequate dental insurance benefit, but it is not the case in the rural areas of America and Oregon. Many areas in Oregon have been documented as underserved, and the problem is expected to get worse over time. The American Dental Association's workforce model projects a declining number of dentists relative to population growth through the year 2025. Willamette Dental recruits nationally for dentists. Currently, we have vacancies for 30 dentists in our Oregon offices that we're having difficulty filling. Most of our vacancies are in offices outside the metropolitan areas, and most of the success we have had in recruiting dentists to these offices is from outside the state of Oregon. On numerous occasions, we have found qualified candidates educated elsewhere who would like to move to the Pacific Northwest, but they cannot get licensed in the state of Oregon because Oregon does not recognize the Northeast Regional, the Southern Regional, and other states' examinations for initial licensure. In most cases, Willamette Dental did not lose the services of these dentists because we were able to recruit them to our offices in Washington. But Oregon was the loser in a highly competitive national and regional marketplace for dental services. The greatest concern you will hear against opening up initial licensure to candidates who pass any U.S. regional or state examination is that other tests are inferior to the Western Regional Examination for evaluating candidates. And the Northeast Regional Board is most frequently characterized as not being up to the same standard, and successful candidates of this board are therefore branded as unqualified for coming to Oregon. Yet 26 states do recognize the Northeast Regional Board for licensing dentists, as does the federal government. And do we really believe that officials in those states and the federal government are any less interested in Oregon in protecting the health and safety of their citizens? During my 26-year career in the Army, I served in a number of postgraduate education and supervisory jobs that allowed me to evaluate the performance of hundreds of dentists from virtually every dental school and licensing jurisdiction in the nation. My position with Willamette Dental for the past 6 years has given me the same opportunity to review the performance of dentists initially licensed in several different states. Based on observations over 30 years, I have seen no relationship between a dentist's confidence and the licensing examination he or she happened to have passed. and we're aware of no evidence the graduates of Northeast or Southeast dental schools are inferior to those of schools located in the West and Central regions. In evaluating the merits of this bill, I encourage you to consider findings of legislators in the state of Washington when they recently liberalized dental licensure in their state to include other state and regional testing agencies. And I quote, "The legislature finds and declares that access to dental care is severely hampered by a critical and emergent shortage of dental providers in Washington state. Dental disease is an epidemic among poor children, the elderly, the disabled, and anyone who does not have access to adequate dental care. Dental decay is worsening among children under 4 years of age, with 41% of the state's Head Start children needing treatment for dental decay. The lack of qualified dentists poses a serious and compelling threat to the oral health of the people of this state. Shortages are due to licensing restrictions that have discouraged qualified dentists from coming into this state." And I'll close the quote, and as a result of that testimony, they have more liberalized their licensure standards. "And access to dental care and disease rates in Oregon are not substantially different than in Washington. The difference is that they seem to get it and we don't. And the fact is that we are in a competition for a shrinking dental manpower pool and we need to act. And if this bill fails, Willamette Dental, who's sponsoring the bill, will not lose because we can still take these dentists into Washington. But Oregon will lose. And we strongly urge you to favorably consider Senate Bill 458. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Deborah Loy, and I'm the Oregon Health Plan Services Director for Capital Dental Care, and we insure 110,000 Oregon Health Plan recipients. About half of those are children, and part of my job responsibilities also include provider outreach and development. Our panel is composed of both staff model clinics that we especially put in areas where we do not have enough community dentists to participate. So we're always very interested in making sure that we have access to good quality practitioners to serve the membership that we are covering. I have permission to share a story that relates to Capital Dental Group, which is our affiliated clinic system. We had the pleasure of having in 2003 a pediatric dentist contact us interested in relocating to the Pacific Northwest. His name is Dr. Jimmy Yoon. When he came out to interview for the position that we had open, we were even more delighted to find out that his wife was also a pediatric dentist and would be with him, obviously, relocating out to the Pacific Northwest. Dr. Yoon graduated from Columbia University, as did his wife. However, he graduated a couple of years before his wife and worked while she continued her dental schooling for graduation. He had the hours necessary to license in Oregon because he had graduated before his wife. His wife did not. And so she relocated to Seattle area to get, Washington recognized her licensure, she relocated up there to get the additional hours. After setting up a practice up there, though, unfortunately the wife oftentimes leads the husband. So Dr. Yoon has been practicing in Albany for us, but since his wife now has spent some time up in the Seattle area, she is drawing her husband up to Seattle to the practice that she started up there. So regretfully, Oregon lost access to two pediatric dentists because we would have employed both of them. And Dr. Yoon was practicing in the Albany area, which is basically a rural area for us to try to serve. So it is quite disheartening to lose two competent dentists to Washington State that we could have kept here. And several years ago, Oregon Health Sciences University Dental School closed the pediatric residency program there because of funding issues. When we recruited dentists over the years, especially pediatric dentists, which there are very few of them statewide to serve the amount of population we have, most of them are our homegrowns out of that program. So it's very, you know, we really look to now, without having our own local part of the school having a pediatric residency program, to outside sources to draw those recruitments. So I appreciate the support of this bill.
Well, we'll pass this bill, and then you can go offer that guy some more money.
And get him back.
if I could, Chair Dalto and committee, you have a dash one amendment before you. Let me just explain how that came about. In testimony in the Senate committee, the executive director of the Board of Dentistry raised a concern with the way the original bill was drafted. He was concerned that a dentist, say in Boston, might have graduated from dental school, passed the exam, and then not practiced dentistry, maybe went into teaching or did something else for research for 20 years, decides to move to Oregon, and under the way the bill was drafted, could get an Oregon license and begin practicing dentistry here, even though it may have been 20 years since he had last actually done dental practice. And so the director of the board was concerned about that. That wasn't the intent of the bill. He wanted to make sure that they were practicing dentists if they were had been out of school for a long time and that they had ongoing experience. So Dr. Allen worked with the board to come up with the dash one amendments. It basically reinstates the old rule, which if you've been out of, if it's been 5 years since you took the exam, then you have to show that you had 3,500 hours of clinical practice within the last 5 years. So the new provision really just applies to those recent graduates. And it says that if you graduated from an accredited dental school and you've passed the clinical exam, that Oregon will recognize your license for during that first 5 years out of school. That satisfies the board, it satisfied their concern with this, and it meets the intent of the bill to begin with. The Senate wanted to, just because of their deadlines, they wanted to move the bill along. We promised to amend it in the process, which is why we're bringing that amendment to you.
What's the story with the no votes in the Senate?
I understand that one of them voted no because they were on the Senate side. Because of the way the bill was drafted at that point, there was a $50,000 fiscal. And because of the difference in price in whether you apply for initial licensure or just a, so, I mean, I didn't even quite understand how that fiscal got there, but they were concerned with the money. Right. It was not a policy issue.
All right, so no fiscal now. And no opposition now?
To my knowledge.
Actually, a net revenue, the way the fiscal impact statement reads.
We don't need more revenue, though.
We don't need more revenue.
Do we have enough?
Is that your policy downstairs?
You didn't hear about that?
We don't, how much?
How about
230.
Revenue forecast. On every sale, make it up.
If you want to put that into dentistry, we'd be happy to help you out.
Yeah.
Adult dental coverage in the Oregon Health Plan only costs seven more than what
I've already made my pitch for that. All right. Thanks very much. We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 458.
Mr. Chair, before you do that,
yes.
I noticed that we have Jane Myers is here. Is Jane not going to speak on this bill? Okay. Great. Okay,
excellent.
Good.
No objections.
Great.
We will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 458. Open a work session on Senate Bill 458.
Mr. Chair,
we have an amendment, right? Dash one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 458.
Thank you, Representative Tomei. Representative Tomei moves the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 458. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Without objection, the dash one amendments are ordered adopted. Representative Tomei.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 458 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Tomei moves Senate Bill 458 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Anderson.
Thank you. I probably would have entered this during the hearing, but not a major problem. I do have concerns for the profession in that quality is really the issue. And like Dr. Allen, I spent service time and 35 years practicing. And while I wouldn't say that every graduate that has graduated in this state has been the perfect quality control, I think there's a very high quality from our OHSU. I have experienced in my practice not only over the course of my lifetime, because I did graduate from dental school in the Midwest and came across a number of folks from the East and Northeast who personally I would I guess I'd say I'd be happy if they were not admitted to dentistry in this state. But my recent experience was with a doctor from the South, and I think he probably left from what all of the indications our dental society was able to elucidate. He probably left his former state on the run and came to Grants Pass and had nothing but problems, ethical problems with the local society and the quality of his dentistry. I'm in a specialty, so I tend to see people and what kind of dentistry they do coming to the office, and then they're sent back to that office again after we're through. And I don't think that he was of the quality that we would want. So this is a very sensitive issue for the profession. We want to be able to control the quality of people, to be able to really know from their record, and I think this gives a fair record, 3,500 hours over 5 years, you're going to know if it's entered into their record in another state or in another locality. You're going to know whether they are capable of doing good dentistry or not. But I do think that we should be careful in the legislature legislating these type of issues. I think the more we can leave it to rule as this does, in a sense, and let the those who are given the responsibility to oversee the quality on the board, to give them the ability to investigate and look very closely at the records of a professional, the better off we'll be. And I would hope we don't get too much into legislating all the boards too closely. With that, I will vote aye on this measure.
Mr. Chair, may I ask Representative Anderson a question?
Yes.
Thank you. So, Representative, I'm a little bit confused by what you said in regards to the bill. It seems to me that what this bill says is that someone who's just graduated from dental school and has gone through testing in the East, and it seemed like you had questions about people who had been tested in the East Coast. But now we're going to accept those people right out of dental school after they've gone through that testing, correct?
With 3,500 hours.
No, not for
dental school. If they haven't.
We already do that.
That's what they wrote.
We already do it with 3,500 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're,
and this will be with a test and a passing score by rule. Right.
Without the 3,500 hours. Right.
That's only if they haven't taken the test within 5 years.
Right, right. But from what Representative Anderson said, I thought you said that this would include the 3,500 hours, but I think this bill takes away the 3,500 hours.
No, it puts it back in.
Puts it back in. It's restored it.
And adds another tier.
I'm not greatly objecting to the bill that we're passing. I'm just saying I think we need to be very careful to allow the board to really oversee the quality and the professional excellence of the graduate, of the person applying. Just a general statement.
It says it removes the requirements the board must accept. Da, 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 da.
It says they shall accept the results of that, of those tests.
Well, obviously I'm thoroughly confused.
The dash one puts back in the old requirements for people that are tested.
Oh, thank you, Representative.
It restores the old language. And
okay. Okay, thank you.
Just to clarify, does the board have the ability, I mean, if there's complaints on a dentist, Gordon, after they've set up shop here, I mean, does the board get those complaints and reviews it and has the ability to withhold
the
license?
There is a peer review committee.
If somebody's...
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So they have
it's
the ability.
It's very difficult, though, in a cottage industry like dentistry, except possibly more in the corporate setting, where a number of people are together and seeing the product of some of the professionals. But in a cottage setting where you're the only operator, it's easy to maybe let your standards slip unless you're really keeping up on everything and have the ethical and moral backing to really want to seek excellence.
Things have to get pretty bad.
No different than any other industry.
Probably not. Go to a restaurant, you can tell a product easily, and the word gets out quickly.
Exactly.
Sure. Okay. Mr. Chair, I'm so confused, because I still don't see that requirement was put back in. It took out in the original bill.
Right, and right here, it restores, if you look at it.
Okay, Sandy, thank you. It's right now.
Yeah, that's right. 470.
Thank you.
Do you want to take a moment to?
No, I'm fine.
Doug here is certainly.
No, I see that here. I was totally confused. Thank you.
Okay. No, we need to a motion on Dr. Dashmore.
I did.
Oh, wait. We did.
We have a motion. We did everything. I just was confused by what Representative Anderson was saying.
Okay.
Come with a motion before, right?
No, so we already...
Yeah, I did that.
Representative Tomei already put a motion on the table.
All right.
And we were in the discussion phase.
Okay. So, is there further discussion? Is there any objection to the passage of this bill? Any objection to the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Greenwood.
Aye.
Vice Chair Tomei.
Aye.
Vice Chair Butler.
Excused.
Chair
votes aye. Senate Bill 458, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Cameron will be attached to carry this bill. We will close the... That was a superfluous gavel.
That was my note.
Excuse me? Oh, that was your note?
Yeah,
excuse
I was
me.
Being...
Representative Greenlink will be attached to carry this bill. Representative Greenlink. Sorry, Cameron, don't hand me any stuff without any names on it, man.
I'm sorry.
We got 25 more bills for him.
That's right. And we will close the work session on Senate Bill 458, and we'll think about letting Mitch draft two bills here, shall we? Related to health care. No, with that, we're standing.
Related to state expenditures.